Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shugan.
Dave, the computer guy from Tex in the Burg, joins us this morning. Dave, good morning. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Fredericksburg.
I haven't been I haven't noticed when I have gone by Tex in the Burg over there on Lafayette Boulevard. Everybody seems to have tulips in front of their place. Do you have tulips over there?
We have tulips. Everything that's possibly could be in bloom, I think, is in bloom right now. We're definitely in springtime.
I thought there were some tulips over there, but when the theme music was playing, I was thinking I should have checked yesterday to see if you had any tulips. You're being a big weather guy like you are. I noticed because it's been so warm, I think it's early, but I noticed on my car the pollen is starting to show up.
It is pretty bad right now, and I've never had allergies my whole life until the last few years, and I can tell that, you know, there's a lot of pollen around. I've definitely been sneezing and coughing the past few days because of that.
I'm like you, and all of a sudden I'm thinking that I might be getting allergies, and I know we've talked about this in past years about you getting it, and I always thought, well, too bad for Dave, and now I think I have. I think I'm getting them.
Yeah, and I've never been bothered with allergies growing up or as a young man, yep. But now at about 60, they're starting to get me.
Yep, it is here, and over the next month or so will be a tough time, and it's that film of pollen that just makes everything just seem so. You're happy when we get a rainstorm, and you're happy when we get beyond all of this.
Yeah, and you can wash your car, you bring it home, the next day it's covered in pollen, and it's like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
And it's tough these days, and some people have really, really bad allergies, and I really feel bad for them.
Yeah. I noticed, to bring the tech world into all of this, I've got a screened-in porch, but I learned a few years ago, especially this time of season, don't leave your computer sitting out there at night with the windows down. You come out and you get pollen in them, and that just those little. I would think that's not a good thing for technology.
No, pollen and also dew. And if you have a back porch and the windows are open at night, it can easily form dew on any components, any, you know, laptop or PC or anything out there at night if the windows are open and the temperatures drop. Yeah, that is a bad thing.
Boy, I would think dew and just getting everything kind of damp, you could wreck a really expensive piece of equipment.
Absolutely. Moisture is one of the worst things for a circuit board.
So keep that in mind. Hey, this is best in the Burg time, and once again, if you're voting best in the Burg, I know you're always solicit for votes, and you're on the list as a finalist.
We made it through the nomination round. The actual voting starts tomorrow. It's March 29th through April 19th. And it seems to be bigger than ever. It seems like every year the Best in the Burg gets bigger and bigger and bigger. There's literally hundreds of businesses vying for votes, and from entertainment, leisure, automotive, banking, finance. I love restaurants, and I'm always looking for a good pizza place or Italian restaurant and Mexican restaurant. And so I'm keeping my eye for who's in these categories and who gets votes and everything. But it's really big. At first, a long time ago, it started off slowly with Best of the Burg. Now it's really, really big. People take it seriously, and everyone's out scouring the community trying to get votes.
Yep. Yeah. And you have won a number of times, and it's I think for just for just for you and your staff, it gives you a little bit of boost to be recognized like that.
It does, and what really feels good. So, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But when we have a customer call us and say that they just wanted to call and tell us that they just voted for us. That's the only reason they called us, to tell us they voted for us. That makes you feel good that you've done something right. That, you know, people trust you and like you so much that they would go out of their way to do that. And so that's a big pick me up.
So the best way to vote, I mean, you go to Fredericksburg.com to vote for Best in the Burg?
Yes, just search for Best of the Burg. It'll pull up the Freelance Star Best in the Burg. You go in there, select the categories, and just vote.
Well, and like you say, I mean, you got into this because you like you've got a tech mind and you like it, but you also like to help people, and that's ultimately what you're doing.
I've been told by a lot of people that I'm a sort of a people person, and I've been told I have sort of a laid back attitude.
Yeah.
You almost have to in tech support. It's so stressful. Everyone that comes around you has a problem. A lot of them are very upset, and you got to take things with a grain of salt, not take things personally, and just try to help people the best you can.
Now I can attest that every computer problem I've had, I'm stressing out, and you're always as calm as can be, and we'll just say, just bring it in. This is what I think it is. We'll check it out, get it back to you.
You've got to remain calm. If you're trying to solve a problem and you lose your head, you're done. That's it. It's sort of like a surgeon, and the surgeon's operating, and they get upset about something. No, I do not want, if I'm being operated on, I don't want my surgeon upset.
Right.
I want him calm and cool as a cucumber.
Yeah, because a lot of times with me, you're dealing with things that haven't been backed up or something like that, and I'm wondering is it going to be salvageable? And there really is in this line of work to be able to be calm and just to be able to explain some real complex things sometimes in real simple terms. That you're good at that,
and that's. I think that is definitely one of my strengths, is to take a comp. I did this in architecture. I did it in tech support. Take a complex idea and break it down into its basic elements. And it becomes much, much simpler when you break it down into its basic elements rather than taking it as just this complex, horrible monster of a problem.
TechsintheBurg.com is the website, and when you're voting for Best in the Burg, remember, Techs in the Burg. They're on Lafayette Boulevard. Dave, the computer guy, here this morning. Quick break. We'll jump into some things when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great having Dave the Computer Guy in this morning from Tex in the Burg on Lafayette Boulevard. You can call him 371-2874. Check them out online, techsintheburg.com. They also have a Facebook page. Dave, you were telling me that a tech giant has passed away.
Yes, Ted. Unfortunately, a few days ago, the co-founder of Intel, Gordon Moore, passed away. I think it was March 24th. And he was truly a tech giant. And some people may have heard of him. Some of our listeners may have heard of him. A lot probably haven't. But if you use a phone, a laptop, or a PC, he's been a big part of your life, whether you know him or not.
Interesting.
He was instrumental, basically, in the development of the modern CPU. And Ted and I were talking in the break. I've crunched some numbers to show you the difference in technology over the years. In 1981, the first IBM computer came out. It had right around 29,000 transistors on its CPU. And the more transistors, the more potential power,
okay,
basically. The new iPhone 14 has 14 billion transistors in it.
14 billion and, as in B.
Yes, and so that would be equivalent of, right around 550,000 IBM PCs, the original one, to equal one new iPhone. 550,000 PCs, and now you hold it in your hand in an iPhone.
Wow. That is just amazing, and we see it. You go back and you watch videos of like the moon landing, or you watch some of the, you know, the early NASA and all the computers and things they have, and just how big things are. And to know that's just phenomenal.
It's mind blowing when you think about it, and the weight of those 500,000 PCs to equal the iPhone would be close to 350 747 jumbo jets. And it would take that weight, that many PCs of that era to equal one iPhone.
Isn't that amazing? That's just funny. It's hilarious.
It's a mind-blowing thing when you try to get your head wrapped around that, how things have advanced. And we do take it for granted. It's just part of our daily life. You know, you've got a cell phone and an iPhone in your pocket, and you don't realize what the technology that is in this thing, 14 billion transistors.
I remember my wife and I's first computer, and I mean, now it was just primitive. But when we got an email from her sister, we were jumping up and down, and it was the greatest thing to get an email on your home computer. And now we don't even think about it with our phones.
Oh, absolutely. I remember back in the, gosh, I guess it was the late 80s, having, it was either AOL or Earthlink dial-up.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the neatest thing. And, wow, things have changed.
You just the people who back in the 80s and even the 70s when a lot of this was being developed, how they must, if those that are still around must just marvel at where we're at.
They do, and but the people today, they're born with this technology. They don't know anything else.
Yeah.
And so I started with the Handy TRS-80,
yes,
back in the late 70s.
Yep.
And studying Fortran and COBOL in school. And so coming from that to right now, it's pretty wild, the difference in the technology and the quickness of everything and how everything is just so small and so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember just going from dial-up was such a huge thing.
Oh, from dial-up to high-speed cable.
Yeah,
And now there's gigabit speeds. Comcast, Cox, Verizon, or the speeds are just going off the charts, and it's just going to continue that the next 5 or 10 years, especially with the advent of AI and just these massive supercomputers. Things are really, really moving fast.
They are moving fast, and the whole AI, that's for another show. But that's some of that. I know there are a lot of people that are real concerned about what AI can do.
There's and with technology, just like the internet, there's good and bad, and you try to take the good, you try to force out the bad, and with something like AI and just even beyond AI, just browsing the internet, it's easy for students to, plagiarize stuff.
Yeah.
Look at this paragraph here. Let me cut and paste this and things like that. There's a lot of good and bad.
Yeah. No, definitely. But wow, those statistics and what you can do with a phone, those are fabulous.
I was a little surprised because when I saw how many billion transistors the iPhone 14 had and how they're growing every incarnation of the phone. It just, a couple more billion here, a couple more billion there, transistors.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's going to end. I mean, the power in these little devices now is just phenomenal.
So speaking of transistors, transistors in a computer itself, how do they compare to what we have in an iPhone?
There is a lot. There it's similar. Actually, the iPhone has a lot more than a lot of PCs do.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of PCs might have 5 or 10 billion transistors, but the iPhone with 14 billion. But there are some some of the most powerful things are PCs or server CPUs. The AMD Rome CPU, it has close to, I think, almost like 45 billion, 48 billion transistors. The AMD Ryzen 7, I think it's 3700.
Okay.
That's about 5, 7 billion, 5, 6, 7 billion. But the iPhone, for something so small that you can put in your pocket at 14 billion, that is one powerful little thing.
Yeah. So to have that many, they're smaller than microscopic.
Yeah, and that's what Gordon Moore, that's him and some of his other co-founders with Intel and some other scientists. That's what they were basically pushing back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s is the micronization, I guess it would be called, of the CPUs, the transistors. And to fit 14 billion on something like an inch square or so is outrageous.
Yeah, and you just
there's some smart people out there. Let's put it that way.
Yes, I was just going to say that because to be able to do that kind of thing and program it like they are and wow, it's just that's just a whole nother that's a whole nother brain level.
Yep. Thank God there's people this smart. And yeah. As I know, I couldn't do it. And that kind of intelligence to create this type of stuff is just, it's mind blowing to me.
One of the things just to stray a bit on this, and it just comes to mind when you're dealing with these kinds of things, the kind of training that you have, it's kind of like when you hear about like a car mechanic that has changed so much because of how engines are today. Computers continue to change, and you have to try to keep up with that.
Absolutely. To me, it's almost impossible. You do the best you can.
Yeah.
I like to keep the information in my head that I need day to day. What I don't use day to day, I know where to find really fast. I really don't... I guess that phrase, keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
I worry about myself and, let everybody else do, what they do. But just try to keep up what I know what I need to know. And what I don't know, I know where I can find it.
Yeah. No,
that's, to me, in my line of work and in a lot of jobs, it's so important to understand what you know and what you don't know. And if you don't know it, admit it and just say, okay, well, I don't know this, but there's a book over there. It's the fourth edition right there on the shelf. That has the information that I need. That's very, very important. I know a lot of techs that go, oh, I know this, I know that, and they don't. Then they go home, they try to Google it real fast and learn something in 5 minutes and try to impress somebody. No, I don't want that. I want people to know what they know and understand what they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, in no 2 days are ever the same for you, and I'm sure not a week goes by when sometimes you do learn something. There's always something to be learned in this field, just because it's changing so quickly.
Oh, absolutely! And I remember back in the day, growing up, having an old Chevy Nova or Chevelle or whatever.
Yeah.
We'd have it up on blocks. We'd be changing the oil, setting the timing, changing the spark plugs. With these modern cars, these modern engines, you really almost have to be some type of trained scientist.
Yeah.
And it is an art form. They're so complex now. So computers have overtaken everything, literally.
Yeah, and what you do, there's still are a lot of the basics with what you're doing, but there are some areas that I'm sure that, like you say, you either have to look at it or it's just something that it's just out of your realm.
And there's always a lot of changes, like in firewall technology. There's been some major advances over the past 5 or 10 years in firewall technology, the next generation firewalls, just different things that they're sort of the same, but they're different. And you just got to sort of roll with the flow of them. And, you know, if you have a good foundation in technology, it makes it much, much easier to deal with it rather than always playing catch up.
Dave, the computer guy with Tex and the Burke here this morning, last half of the show, we've got some good stuff to talk about.
Yep, we're going to be talking about Wi-Fi security, backups, ergonomics, and especially ergonomics with laptops. People have a lot of problems with this.
Yeah, good. So there are a lot of things and in a lot of topics I have questions or am not keeping up and doing like I should. And we'll get into all of that this morning with Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard, texintheberg.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now almost 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is Tex in the Berg on Lafayette Boulevard, 505 Lafayette Boulevard. You can go online, texintheberg.com. They're also on Facebook or call 540-371-2874. Backing up phones, Dave, this is, you're going to be, you will not be speaking to a choir here because I am really bad about this. I am really bad. And when I have to take my phone in for something, they'll always ask, is it backed up? And I usually have to sheepishly say no. So you're not going to be happy with me.
With iPhones, actually, it's pretty easy. And considering how advanced an iPhone is, it should be pretty easy. The iCloud, you just need to enable the iCloud on your iPhone. It comes stock or standard with 5 gigabytes of free storage. And that's good enough for settings and some to back up apps and stuff. But if you've got a lot of pictures, a lot of music, you probably want to get one of the paid plans. They start at about $1 and for 50 gigs. That will probably suffice with most people. You can always go for a little bit more. It's very, very inexpensive.
Okay.
And just make sure you turn on your iCloud and then just tap on the backup now, and it will back up everything on your iPhone. You don't know how important that is until you drop your thing and in the sink,
yes,
or somewhere else unmentionable, and all of a sudden that phone's gone. Everything else on it's gone unless it's backed up.
Yeah. So,
and people have their whole lives in their phones sometimes. All their music, all their family photos they've been taking at events and parties and everything, it's all on their iPhones. Back it up. It's $1 or a few dollars at most every month to have peace of mind, have everything on that phone backed up.
Yeah, and if like you say, if you don't, you just stand to lose so much. And even transferring that over to just your PC, if you've got things that are important and you've got programs or something on your PC, back them up, because you always say, and it's the same with an iPhone, in an instant something can happen where you can lose it or it can get broken, or computers, something goes wrong.
It always does. That's the only constant, is everything eventually will break. If it's electronic or mechanical, it will eventually break if continuously used. And with an iPhone, with a PC, with a laptop, that, you know, especially with the iPhone, you can use iCloud. I really like iDrive for PCs, laptops, and even phones. It's real inexpensive. For like $6, $7, $8 a month, you can cover most everything, all the computers and phones a normal family would have. And that is a small, very, very small price to pay for security. And if you lost your iPhone, if it was stolen, you can get another phone, restore your backup, you're back good to go without any fuss or muss, and didn't lose anything.
Yeah. Now, and like you say, when it's insurance, and when
absolutely, because it's bad enough having your phone lost or stolen or damaged and it's not recoverable. Then you think about, well, I've just lost 5 years of family photos. That's a really, really tough pill to swallow. And just a little bit of planning, just a few dollars here or there, can make a big difference.
Well, and Dave, you and I talk about when businesses lose something and how catastrophic that can be. But like you say, it's catastrophic if you've got family pictures, you've got pictures of your kids growing up, and all of a sudden you realize that you've never backed them up, or you haven't put them on, you don't have them in another location. And in some cases, you can't, I can bring it to you and say, you know, please help me. And there are sometimes, I'm sure you have to say, can't get it.
Yes, sometimes we can't. And sometimes we deal with a laboratory up in Fairfax. When we can't do it, we give it to them. There have been times that they can't do it. And it is heartbreaking. It's one of the worst things I've had to deal with when you're dealing with a small family and they have thousands of family photos.
Yeah.
And they've lost them and they cannot get them back. It's about as heartbreaking as you can get.
And I am sure if you're dealing with a laboratory in Fairfax, that when you get to that point that you can take it there, it's a whole lot more. You're paying a whole lot more to get it from them than if you just paid for the cloud.
Oh gosh, there's a big difference in spending $5 or $10, $5 or $10 a month over spending possibly thousands of dollars. We've had to pay for some really, really serious data recovery, several thousand, to get back QuickBooks databases, et cetera,
that the
company would literally pay anything to get back. It would cost a small fortune.
I am sure. And when you sit down, especially sometimes with businesses, Dave, and they're saying, and you lay out, you know, this is what you need to get the iCloud. I'm sure it breaks your heart when they don't get it, because you know that likely sometime down the road you are going to have that discussion of you've lost it. It's either going to cost you a lot to get it back or you can't get it back.
Yeah, and we've had businesses. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat.
It happens. It's this time of year.
Have almost lost everything. We were able to get their data back. Then they simply refused to change their backup routines. They didn't want to. And I'm like, well, you can't help someone that doesn't want to help themselves.
Right.
And that's another form of heartbreak to me, that you can help these people, but they will not help themselves. And then at that point, you got to throw up your hands. There's absolutely nothing you can do.
Mm. And it's so easy. And like you say, especially with the iPhone, just get the iCloud and you're taken care of.
And back up to it, you got 5 gigs of free space. You can buy for like a dollar or a couple dollars, get a lot more, and back up all your photos, all your apps, music. And a lot of people have a ton of music in some of these iPhones.
Yeah.
And they could, if they, their chances are it's going to be stored in iTunes, but still, it's a pain to go through everything without the backups.
Yeah. Right.
And so, and it's so inexpensive. Just do it. Just spend it. If you can afford an iPhone, you can afford a dollar a month or whatever for some decent storage space.
Dave, the computer guy here with Tex in the Berg, as far as to talk to us about Wi-Fi security and how important Wi-Fi security is, especially when we talk always about how dangerous it's gotten out there, and with just so much spam out there. To have Wi-Fi security is kind of like, it's another, it's one of those, it's another layer of protection.
Absolutely. And there is one big mistake that people make if they're setting up a new Wi-Fi router at their house.
Okay.
When you initially start the setup, you log into the GUI, the graphical user interface, 192.168.1.1 or whatever. It'll pop up a username and password. You put in the default settings.
Yep.
And it should ask you to change the password. Make that is going to be your admin password to access that Wi-Fi router. You want to make that a complex password, and you want to make sure that that password is different than the your Wi-Fi password. Because if you let someone on your Wi-Fi,
yeah,
and that password there is the same that accesses the Wi-Fi router, they can get on that, take it over, and change settings and lock you out, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, so you want to make sure your admin password on the Wi-Fi router is different than your SSID password or your Wi-Fi password. And both have to be very complex, but different.
Okay. So,
and if your Wi-Fi router is more than a few years old, you probably should be looking to replace it.
I was going to ask you about that. So every few years you should replace, I guess with technology, that makes sense.
With Wi-Fi has changed a lot in the last 5 or 10 years. Every few years, it has gotten so much better. And right now, it's so much faster. The mesh Wi-Fis, it used to be you have Wi-Fi in your house. The corners of the house or the far ends of the house never have a good signal. You can blast Wi-Fi all over any house right now. And it's just so much faster, so much more reliable. And like I said, if your Wi-Fi is more than 4 or 5 years old, you might think about replacing it.
Well, and like you say, just to be able to, because I think we all have dealt with the situation of where you've got that room or those rooms or up somewhere where it doesn't go, to be able to get that, when you upgrade, you do see how technology has really helped, and all of a sudden your whole house has, full bars in it.
Yes, and that can mean a big difference to a family. If you got a bunch of kids and they're scattered all over the house, and you're here, your wife's in another room, your kids are in the basement or up on the third floor, and everyone can scream, everyone has a strong, fast signal. The quality of life improves dramatically.
It does. It certainly does. And a lot of times, with Wi-Fi, especially if you've got guests coming in, if you want to have you don't want to. Everybody wants you always go to somebody's house and you'll ask for the Wi-Fi password. You don't want them to be able, and sometimes it's not anything it's not anything malicious, but they can get on your Wi-Fi and cause some problems if they go somewhere or click on something they shouldn't.
Absolutely, and that's why I put them on the guest network. And
yeah,
that guest network is going to be segregated from their normal network, so there's no cross-contamination, so to speak, It might not be malicious, but when someone brings a laptop over or a cell phone over or something, and if they put it on the Wi-Fi, whatever problems they have become your problem.
Huh.
Unless you protect yourself and put them on a separate guest network. And like I said, most of the time it wouldn't be malicious. They may not even know they have a virus on their computer.
Right.
But if that computer is put on your network, their problem becomes your problem real fast.
There's where the problems come in. The other thing that, as we talk about this, that occurs to me, that if you sort of look after your parents, you may have elderly parents that have a network that you've set up, and you may not be around them a lot or there a lot, but it's a good thing every few years, like you say, to remember to go to make sure that some Wi-Fi system that you may have set up for someone else or another family member, that you keep them up to date.
Absolutely. That's actually a very excellent point, Ted, because A lot of senior citizens, if you they'll have Wi-Fi set up in their apartment or their little house, and you know it's set up and that's it. These things need to be maintained. The passwords need to be routinely changed to keep security good. And if they're just sitting there using it year after year with the exact same password and everything, sooner or later it can be compromised. Yeah. And it's a good idea to keep an eye on them and update these type of things.
Yeah, just because, it, especially with someone elderly, you don't want someone to get into that system and just you know, waiting for a chance to pounce.
No, and we just had someone lose, I think they were hacked over $16,000.
Wow.
And the money was taken. The bank promised to give it back. They still haven't, as far as I know, and it's been weeks. And this was money earmarked for rent and other things, and it's gone.
Mm. And it's probably not a bad idea if you do have elderly parents or family members that do use the computer, to every now and then talk to them about just some of the do's and don'ts. And
absolutely, because these cyber criminals, they prey upon these people. They'll call you and say, you know, there's a virus on your computer. We're from Microsoft, and let me on, and I can do this. And then they tell me, well, they said they were from Microsoft. I'm like, Microsoft will never call you. Yeah. They don't know you. They don't know your computer. They don't care if you have a virus.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the things. And like we've talked about before, if you think that your computer's been compromised, shut it off.
Shut it off instantly. Call us. Call it to any whoever your tech support is. But turn that computer off and never, ever give out any information over the phone to anyone unless you initiate that call and that conversation.
Tex in the Berg, Dave the Computer Guy here this morning, texintheberg.com. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk about ergonomics and laptops. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Dave the Computer Guy in this morning with Tex in the Berg, texintheberg.com. Before we get out of here, Dave, you wanted to talk about ergonomics and laptops, right?
Yes, and this is becoming a big deal. And because more and more people are using cell phones, laptops, and it's really, really harming people's posture. With a laptop, if you have a table, and the table itself is the correct height where you can put out your forearms and they are horizontal, with the table, the table's the correct height. But if you set a laptop on it, your neck is going to be bent down, looking down at the keyboard and looking at the screen. And for a little while, that's not too big of a deal. But if you do it hours on end every day, you're going to be one of these people with a crooked neck. You're going to be walking around the streets and your head's going to be pointed down. It's going to eventually, over the years, get stuck like that. And you want to raise your laptop up on a small platform so it is more horizontal with your head, so your neck isn't bent forward looking down at the keys and looking at down at the screen.
Okay.
And over time, that is a real big deal. I know I get caught doing it sometimes, but if you do it, if your laptop is stationary on a desk all the time, raise it up. Raise it up so it's more eye level with your head.
No, those are the kinds of things you don't pay attention to that, but then all of a sudden you start having neck pain and back pain, and it's tough.
And when your neck gets messed up, I have family members that have neck problems that can affect a lot of other parts of your body. I mean, your back, your shoulders, mm-hmm. everything. When you have neck problems. And this is a real, real easy fix. Just get a small platform, a few books, if nothing else, set under the laptop, raise its level up so your head's not tilted forward so much, that can mean just these small changes can mean a big difference.
I see so many more people now who have these setups of where they have their laptop or their computer, and they're standing up a lot.
I have a lot of clients that swear by that too.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I see
that.
They have back problems and neck problems and shoulder problems, and they just raise the desk up and they stand there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wow. And they said that solved a lot of their physical ailments. They still can lower it and sit back down if they want to, but just standing there, everything is straight in front of you, your body's straight up and down, and some of these people have never gone back to sitting down. That's their new normal.
Yeah, so like it's like carpal tunnel, or these things that are small, but they can really affect your quality of life, so pay attention
Absolutely.
To that.
Absolutely. These small things over time just gather momentum and really take over.
Got like a minute and a half left, Dave, and we've been like lately closing shows where you kind of give some shout outs to some long term or just some good businesses in the area.
Yes, I wanted to talk about a couple, maybe two or three this morning. One is Network Title, and Jeff and Tony Hall have owned that for decades. They've been down here. I know I've worked with them on and off for over 20 years in downtown. And a long time ago, I actually shared an office space with them on William Street. But, you know, they've been down here decades and just really, really nice people to deal with. Some of the attorneys, Robert Ackerman, he has been down here for
yeah.
at least 25 to 35 years. And I've known him for 30 years at least in downtown. Willis and Ashby, Connor Ashby, and Mark Willis, they've been attorneys down here for decades. They're staples, along with Robert Ackerman, Network Title. I mean, these businesses have stood the test of time.
Yep.
Decades and decades in downtown Fredericksburg. And when you've been around that long, you're obviously doing something right. Your customer service and your integrity have to be beyond reproach to last decades in a tough economic environment. So just a shout out to these businesses, you know, keep up the good work, and I'm going to find a few more businesses for the next show. There's a lot of good
yeah.
businesses
yeah.
that deserve a shout out.
And real, real quick, don't forget Tex in the Burg when you are voting for Best in the Burg. Yeah, remember Tex in the Burg.
Tex in the Burg, we're there in computer repair and internet technology service provider. We won 3 of the last 4 years. We'd like to make it 4 of the last 5.
Amen. Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Burg, texintheburg.com on Lafayette Boulevard. Dave, thank you. We'll see you next month.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Fredericksburg.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.